so they can get their diploma and declare that they have graduated. And I'm for them. So to the graduates, I want to say congratulations. You made the list. You know that list? Yeah, I think that's worthy of a little celebration. You made the list. There's all kind of lists in life, but the one you were worried about was the one that said your grades were good enough, you qualified, and you get to graduate. Your parents were praying you made the list because they didn't want to spend any more money on you. I thought I'd get a little something from the parents, some more than others. Some of them said, no, actually, we're going to spend more on them now than we did to keep them moving forward and pray they'll never come home. No, that's not true. That's not true at all. I will tell you that when they leave, they come back. Just in case, I promise you, they'll return. But you made the list. There's all kind of lists in life that some you want to make, some you hope you never make. When I was in Southwestern Assemblies of God University, I was a student there. And we had a list called the Dean's List. Now, the Dean's List is a list that you make if your grades are good enough and you keep them high enough, long enough, you can actually make the Dean's List. And it's kind of considered, special to make the list. I discovered he had another list. There's a list he kept for those who didn't come to chapel often enough. The chapel skipped list. I made that list. The good thing is now I can say I made the Dean's List. It's just not the right list. But I can tell you that there's a lot of different lists you can make, and some will help you move forward in life. Some can hurt you or hinder you. But from almost any list you make, you can still fulfill what God's called you to do. There is an opportunity to move forward even if you didn't make the Dean's List, even if you didn't graduate in the top, if you weren't one of those two intelligent young people that were able to speak to us tonight because they have done so well. And you may have said, Pastor, if you only knew, I barely made the list to graduate. I was not the smartest guy in the class or the smartest girl. I'm just glad to be here. As a matter of fact, if it wasn't for Mercy, I wouldn't be. There's some of that because that's how I was. It's interesting to me that after not being that good a student, not doing that well, and I'm not discouraging you or trying to talk you out of doing your best, I'm just simply saying I didn't do that well. I made it, but I didn't do well at it. My attention was in other places, and the only Dean's List I made was the one for skipping chapel. That's the truth. That's the truth. Today, though, I'm the chairman of the board. You know, what does that mean to us? Well, it means that sooner or later, once you decide, you can get this done. You may not have started yet or given your best effort yet, but you can start when you're ready. And if you'll get started, there's still time. You can become everything God made you to be. Are you with me so far? I just want you to hear this little thought because there's a lot of lists in the Bible that we could read all these different lists. David had his mighty men. Those certain ones that had certain feats and certain accomplishments. And because of what they had done, they made this list. At the end of David's life, he lists them and said, these guys were special. And now we call them David's mighty men. In the book of Hebrews, he gives us a list where he says this in chapter 11. He says, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to talk about Gideon or Barak or Samson or Jephthah, David, Samuel, or the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign enemies. What an incredible list. And that's not all of it. There's more of the list that I didn't bother to read. Now, this is the list of people who excelled in what God had called them to do in the Old Testament. Now, this is a New Testament book. The book of Hebrews is New Testament. But everyone on the list is Old Testament. He's saying, these guys are the past. This is what they've done. I have a belief. Now, I can't back it up with Scripture, but some of my best preaching is what I say that I can't back up with Scripture. That's a joke. That's a joke, just so you know. Now, the truth is, it just may be that there's another list being made in heaven for the New Testament believer. And there's a list worth making. Now, of all the lists you're going to make, let me tell you the list I want you to make the most. I want you to make the list that says you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. More than anything, I want him to write your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is the list of all lists. When the Lord was calling me into ministry, and I didn't want to do that, I had seen that. I grew up in it. I had no desire for it. But God just continued to call me. Finally, when I committed, I said, God, I don't know that I'm in a position to make a deal with you, but here's the one thing I hope to get out of being in the ministry. I ask you to do this for me. I ask you to make sure that my children all receive you as their Savior and that my children go to heaven when they die. If you'll give me my kids' salvation, they have to receive him, but God, you do all in your power to make sure they will. That's all I want is my kids' salvation. You know what I want for you? The same thing. I'm not sure what you're going to accomplish in life, how God's going to use you. I'm going to talk to you in just a minute about some things you can do to guarantee you make that list. But the list of salvation is an easy list to make. If you've not received Jesus as Savior, it's not hard. It's a matter of believing Jesus died on the cross. It's a matter of believing he rose from the dead. And then confessing with your mouth what you believe in your heart. And when you do that, you are born again. Your name is written down on the list of all lists, the list that matters most. Make sure your name is on that list. But this list, the list we speak of tonight, is the list of those who were overachievers, those who did special things, accomplished special purposes. Now, there's a lot they don't have in common. There's so many things different about each of them. If you were trying to say, how did they make that list? Did they all have this lineage? Did they all have this call? Did they all have this ability? And you look at them and they all had different abilities and different calls and different purposes and come from different places. But there was three things they had in common. And you can have the same three things. And if you'll have those things in common, you can make God's list of overachievers. Number one. This is short, so don't tune out on me, because I know right now you really wanted me to sit down. Number one, be the right person. Because these three things they have in common is this, and remember this, and then I'll explain it. One is, they were the right person. Number two, they were in the right place. Number three, they were still there at the right time. Now, all of those had that in common. How do you become the right person? Well, some of it you already are. See, in Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you a prophet to the nation. That's what he said to Jeremiah. He didn't say that exact same thing to you, but he can say to you and does say to you, before you were born, I already knew you. Wow. Before you were born, I had already appointed you. See, let me just help you. I don't know your lineage. I don't know where you came from. I don't know if your parents told you you were a mistake. I don't know if they were sure, if it was a plan. I don't know if there were months and years of them praying that you would be born. Or I don't know if when your mom said to your dad you were going to be born, he said, you got to be kidding. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. There are people who are the product of rape or incest and on. You can say, oh, there's all these things. How could God be in on that? Here's what I do know. I do know that once man does what man does, God does not let it go without his hand on it. That the moment there is life in the womb, God reaches into that womb with his hand and he begins to form that life into what he needs it to be. He begins to shape it and mold it, and from its inception, it has purpose and value. That life has a place. He's already looked over and said, I'm going to need that life right here. I'm going to need them doing this. This is the place. This is the purpose. I'm going to make them and design them to fit this purpose. So in the same way that he said to Jeremiah, I knew you before you were born, before you came out, I had already appointed you. I want you to know you already have purpose and you are designed to accomplish that purpose. Grasp that. You didn't just show up. Say, oh, but I don't care what you think or what somebody said. I'm telling you, from the moment of your inception, God's hand's been all over your life and he's been molding you. Your lineage is important. I don't know who your parents are. I don't know where you came from, young people, but hear me close. Your lineage matters. We all have a starting place so that when God was forming us in our mother's womb, He knew who that mother was. He knew where that womb was. He knew where she lived. He knew the circumstance. He knew the difficulty. He knew the good. He knew the easy. He knew all about it. And He knew that from that place, you could get to the place He needs you to be. From the place of your birth and your beginning, He had a plan for your life. Joseph, look at the story of Joseph. With all that was going on, Joseph knew, God knew how to get Joseph from where he was to Egypt, and He had a plan to get him from part A to part B. Moses, what are we going to do with Moses? Well, we're going to put him in a basket and send him out in the Nile, but God's got His hand on this thing, and He's able to take that child out of that basket and put him into the house of Pharaoh. See, in all of these, we see the hand of God. He knew how to get David from out where he was taking care of his daddy's sheep up into ultimately the king of the nation. He knows how to move us about, but we must be the right person. So the first part of that right person is a gift from God. The second part is in our submission to His will and His work in our life. If God calls you to go to a certain college, you go to that college. If God lets you walk through a difficult circumstance, do it with your head held high. Be a Joseph who will not fall into sin. Be righteous when no one else is righteous. If your brothers reject you, you don't reject God. If you'll do those things in the process, there is a making of you. You already shaped in your mother's womb. You've already been born in the right place. All of those things you didn't have anything to do with. You're already advantaged in every way. But there's a part of the development you're going to go through which is going to have rejection in it. It's going to have pain in it. It's going to have difficulty in it. It's going to be difficult and hard, and it's going to be a struggle. There's going to be learning you have to do, experiences you have to go through. All of that is so that you can become everything you need to be as the person God called you to be. And it's important you let God make you into the right person, because He already has a place. And it's your place. But He needs you to be the person you need to be before you get to that place. The place matters. Even Jesus. Even Jesus, it says, He could not do many miracles in His own hometown. Jesus said it this way. He said, only in His hometown and in His own house is a prophet without honor. And He could not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. See, you have to grasp. We've been picking on Joseph. Let's stick with him a little bit. In his own hometown and in his own house, Joseph was mocked and made fun of. His daddy gave him a coat of many colors, but his brothers, they didn't like him. They rejected him. They threw him in a pit. They sold him into slavery. They would have killed him if Reuben hadn't have intervened. What a difficult time that Joseph had in his own home. And yet, when you put him in Egypt, something shifted. And by the time his brothers get to him in Egypt, now where they had mistreated him, they're now bowing down to him. Where they had been hard on him, they're now submitted to him. The shift was that this wasn't his place. This was only his place of preparation, not his place of purpose. And God's got places for you to be prepared, but He's got a place of purpose. And so when you're not treated well and you feel like I don't have anything because people say you can't, because in your own home and your own surroundings, you're not treated so special. Let me tell you, if you let God do what He's going to do, by the time He gets you in the place where you're supposed to be, even your family will bow down before the call on your life. Because the place matters. When Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were back in the land of Jerusalem, nobody considered them anything. But when they get to Babylon, they become great and powerful leaders because the place matters. Our missionaries often sit in our services without hardly any respect at all. But I go overseas and I see them working in the place where God's really called them. And there, boy, they're treated like they should be treated, and they walk in authority and power. They come back home and we just treat them like somebody trying to raise money. But God knows what He's doing in their place. The strong man in one house is only strong in the house that's his house. He's not strong in someone else's house. When you get in your place, and why do I take too much time there? I take it simply because of this. Don't try to tell God where to put you. You ask God where He needs you to be. Because you can chase after somebody else's place. You can even wiggle your way into a place that you think is special. I want to be this or I want to be that if I could just do. And you can work your way in and get there and find out you were not meant for that. And there's no power, authority, or victory in that place. But if you'll let God lead you and guide you into the place He has for you, when you stand in that place, there is going to be a release and an authority that is from God Himself. And you're going to be effective like you never knew you could. Be because remember, when He was forming you in your mother's womb, He already had a place in mind that fits you perfectly. The last thing, and then I'll quit. I didn't say I was through, I just said I'd quit. Is the right time matters. When Jesus was just about to begin His ministry, but had not yet really began to operate in the supernatural. They're at a wedding. You know the story. They run out of wine, and they're embarrassed by what's happened because, the guests drank too much or what happened, but they run out of wine. So Jesus' mother came to Him and said, "Jesus, they've run out of wine." He said, "It's not my problem." She said, "Son, they've run out of wine. I want you to help them." Now, she knew who He was. I mean, remember, she had met with the angel. She knew she was a virgin. She knew who He was. And He had never done this kind of thing. And she put the pressure on Him. And He said this, "Dear woman, why do you involve me? My time has not yet come." He's establishing that even Jesus had to wait on His time. Don't be discouraged when it's not your time, when you're still being prepared, when you're still being led, but it's not your turn yet. One of the problems, now hear me because I love you. One of the problems that we've discovered that the millennial generation has is they want to have purpose and they want to have value and they want to make a difference. But they want to do it the first year they get out of school. And they get discouraged and they sit in my office. They say, "I'm so depressed." "Why are you depressed?" "Well, because I wanted to change the world. And I haven't been able to change it. And I can't figure out how to change it. I want my life to matter. I want to make a difference." "How long have you been in the ministry now?" "6 months." I see. "It's been people known to take 9, 10 months to make a difference like you're looking for. I don't know how to help you." It's going to take a little while because before God can use you to change the world, He's still changing you. There's still work going on. You've got to be patient. You've got to stand in there. You've got to stay in the spot God puts you until it's completed. Till the time comes. We see Elijah standing on the mountaintop about to call down fire. And then he steps back and tells the prophets of Baal, "You go first." So from morning to evening, the prophets of Baal did what they did. But they couldn't get fire to come. And then the scripture says, but at the time of evening sacrifice. He says, time now. To offer an offering to the Lord. And because of the timing, he knew he could stand up and see success. When the enemy was coming against David, God spoke to him and said, "Keep your men hid in the trees until you hear the wind blow through the tops of the trees. And then you'll know the army of heaven's marching above you." That's when you know it's time, because when you know God's doing it, then you do it. Too often we get ahead of God and we run out and do this and do that. And then we're discouraged. And we say, "I thought you were ahead." Well, you know, that's not new. Moses did it. Moses said, "I know I'm a miracle child. I've been blessed of God. I've been raised in the very temple of the great Egyptian gods. And I've seen, and my mama, who is a Jewish lady, has taught me the ways of the Lord. I believe that I am chosen of the Lord. I believe I'm divine. I mean, by divine power, I'm the man to do the job. I am ready. Let's get it on." And he goes out and begins to stand up against these Egyptian soldiers. And he takes his stand, and the Egyptian bows back up in his face. And he says, "I'll show you." And he gives him a good blow. And the next thing you know, they're having it out, and the Egyptian's dead. And he said, "That wasn't how I planned it." And so the word comes back that he's done this. And then even the Jewish population, which were his own kin, said, "What are you going to do, kill us too?" Right. And he realized he had messed up. He ran into the wilderness and he hid in the wilderness, and there he married someone, and there he raised her father's sheep, took care of her father's sheep. And now 40 years later, he's standing in the middle of a wilderness, and he sees a flame burning but not consuming the plant that was burning. And he goes over to investigate it and says, I've never seen anything like that in my life. And then out of the plant and out of the fire, the voice of the Lord spoke and said, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. Now that's an, we all know the story. Well, it's an incredible moment. And Moses is like, wow, that's God's voice. That's pretty. And so God says, now I want you to go back to Egypt and I want you to deliver the children of Israel. He said, well, I tried that 40 years ago and it didn't work. He said, it wasn't my time then. Now it is. See, everything is different when you're in rhythm with God. Don't be discouraged when God's time is not your time, but by all means, when God has sent you somewhere, and this is it, I'm through, almost. When God sends you somewhere, stay there until it's His time. If we were filling the room with dominoes and we were going to push one over and it was going to make all the other ones fall, we know this, that if you put the first domino up first, the first domino has to stay there and stand in its place until you get all the other dominoes in order. And sometimes God sends you to the place He's going to do the great thing in first, and you have to stand there while He orders everything else into its place. And you can become very frustrated. Now, God? No. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. Now, God? No. I'm still putting these things and those things, and I'm still doing stuff in the government, and I'm still doing stuff in the church, and I'm still doing stuff in the community. God, are you ready for revival now? No. You just stand right there. But you told me I was, and you are, just stand right there. But God, you promised, and I am going to keep my promise, but you just stand right there. One of the worst things that happened, and I see it in our ministry, there's powerful young men and women of God with great potential that can't stay where God sent them long enough to see God do what He promised He would do. I'm asking you, because you can make the list. I mean the list of the greatest that ever lived in the New Testament day. You can be on that list if you're willing to be the right person in the right place at the right time. God bless you guys.